The best in chat radio, designed just for you.
This is Michael Gnaeu with Insight to Israel, brought to you by America's Web Radio. And I want to say thank you to all the guys at America's Web Radio for bringing the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States of America. To the patriot conservatives, the Christians that stand for that truth, and acknowledge that if it had not been for a God giving Torah, the Mosaic Law, the Pentateuch, and Christianity to the Jewish people, we would not have a Constitution or Bill of Rights. And so if we have to fight for our freedom, we will stand with the Jewish people as they fight for their sovereignty and security. So thank you to America's Web Radio. I love you guys. You're the best. I also want to say thank you to the folks in the United States of America at the grassroots level that contribute to Hershey's for Heroes. It is an amazing program that if you Google in Hershey's for Heroes, you will find the Facebook page. Now, I'm working on my website. That should be done very soon, God willing. If I could quote my mother since my childhood, whenever I make a statement about something that's coming up, God willing. I love that woman. Anyway, thank you to everyone who contributes. You will never know. Go to Hershey's for Heroes, Google it in. You will never know the morale boost that it brings to a soldier to see a note on a chocolate bar that says, "We love you. We pray for you. We stand with you as you defend the only Jewish state." It is amazing, amazing how the face lights up. How I've had soldiers in front of me, red-faced, crying. Not crying as if a child, but with gratitude, saying, "Michael, we never knew. We never knew." Thank you to America for doing that. If you'd like more information, again, you can Google in Hershey's for Heroes and send me an email. Just got a case of 500 chocolate bars from Easley, South Carolina. And I'm going to hook you up with them, Jonathan. I'm here with my friend Jonathan Feldstein. And with a note on each one.
Wow.
And my goal is 1,000 chocolate bars a month, and it's doable. It is completely doable to hit every base here in Israel, in the Jewish state, and hit every soldier, because they are more than worthy. I wish I could do more, but I think right. This is a great program at the grassroots level. So thank you to Americans. Another, over a year and a half, I've been here, another beautiful day in the Jewish state. I am in the eternal capital, Jerusalem, the eternal capital of Israel. And it's a beautiful day. I'm here in Cafe Forte, here in Jerusalem, close to the Shuk.
That's right.
Do you know what mall we're in, Jonathan? Is this a mall?
The Klal Building.
Klal Building. In case you happen to be in Jerusalem and you're hearing this broadcast.
All the way to the bottom floor.
All the way to the... Say it again?
It's a Cafe Forte. It's all the way in the bottom floor of the Klal Building. Excellent menu.
Very nice. Yeah, we just ordered a nice calzone.
Yep.
So, Jonathan Feldstein. It's been a while.
It's been a while. Thank God we're back.
Exactly. Jonathan's been on the show a few times, and I'm going to let him take a few minutes here and explain what he does. But I want to say thank you, Jonathan, for being on the show again, because you're getting ready to take a trip to the States.
Right.
So tell us exactly, Magen David Adom, or Heart to Heart.
Yeah, so I created 2 years ago a program called Heart to Heart, and the idea is to bring people in Israel when they're here visiting to donate blood in person. I got a special guest tomorrow who I'm not allowed to say yet, but it's actually getting along the VIP circuit, and we're thrilled about that. And for everyone else listening who has it in their heart to come to Israel, but for whom it's not so easy, it's too far away, it's a little too expensive right now, whatever the reasons. So we created a grassroots virtual blood donation program. So anyone, anywhere in the world can go to our website and sponsor a unit of blood that can save 3 lives. And we send a beautiful certificate along. And actually, this week has been really nice because we just wrote it up as one of the blogs that I do. People looking for gifts for Valentine's Day.
Nice.
Right? So we can send a certificate that in honor of your mother, your girlfriend, your wife.
Fiance,
whoever it might be, brother, it doesn't matter. Anyone who you love and want to express something that's really, really unique, you donate a unit of blood in their honor, and we send them a certificate that says saving lives in Israel because I love you.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Now, a fella might go from girlfriend to wife real quick if she sees his compassionate side, his humanitarian
That's
side.
That's excellent, Michael. You're right. Yeah, guys so. Listening, we can talk.
Give blood.
Give blood, right. Blood lasts. It's an incredible gift. It's a whole lot nicer, I think, than a dozen or two dozen or five dozen roses, which die in a week.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And in these difficult financial times, which we find ourselves in, it's better to give a gift that lasts while we are here in this earth, a lifetime.
And saving a life, and the Jewish tradition is, if you save a life, you save the whole world. And one unit of blood can save three people. And if that's too steep, we ask for a $100 donation to sponsor one unit of blood. And if that's too steep, if someone's just not able to do $100, we bring it down to the individual components of the units of blood at $60, $40, and $25. So really, it's in anyone's reach. It's meant to be grassroots. We work with ministries and other organizations as partners taking on Heart to Heart to support it. So anyone listening now who would like to support us, great. Anyone who has a church or other organization they'd like to bring the program into, or bring me to their church.
Yeah.
I'm in. It's a pleasure.
Nice. And the other thing is, Jonathan, to add to that, is that, sometimes we think, we always think big numbers. That's our first response in giving to an organization like Heart to Heart. And the thing about love, and there's a lot of Americans at the grassroots level, the Christians that love Israel, that support the Jewish state.
Right.
And the thing about love, it's consistent.
That's right. It's unconditional.
Unconditional, and it's not seasonal.
That's right.
And you can give $5 or $10 a month. That adds up.
$5 or $10 a month, while I'm talking to you, the listeners can't see. I'm doing math because I'm really bad at it, but I'm just curious. $100 divided by 365 comes out to a whopping 27 cents a day.
That's not bad.
Right?
That's not bad.
And I remember I used to be able to buy a Coke for that. Not anymore.
Well, we don't need to drink Coke anyway. I mean, let's see, the little healthy in these days.
Well, that's true, but I prefer Coke over Pepsi because Coke never boycotted Israel.
Very valid point. That's a whole other story, but that's a valid point.
That's for another broadcast.
Exactly.
But, yeah, no, it's very tangible, and it's a gift of life, and there's nothing more meaningful, and it's a beautiful thing, and I love doing it, but even more than I love doing it, I love the wonderful reception that I get. The gentleman who I'm bringing to donate blood tomorrow, which will hopefully be in the news next week, when I asked him originally if he would come and consider donating, he said that it would be his honor to give blood in the land that Jesus gave his blood for him.
Wow, Jonathan, I just got this calzone set in front of me. My, that's huge.
Yeah.
Huge, wow. I'm going to chew a little bit in the microphone. That way folks can get an idea of how good it is.
There you go.
Let me ask you something, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Folks can go back and listen to the podcast of old shows.
Sure.
Over the past year. We're coming up on a year for Insights
Israel.
Right.
That's right.
And they can do that, and we want them to, but at the same time, I'm sure there's plenty of new listeners in Europe. We now have listeners in Europe and all across the U.S., and can you recap? I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you started in Heart to Heart, and why it's such a great concern to you.
Sure. Well, it's a great concern on a personal level because my mother, when I was 17, taught me that we need to give blood, and it's a value that I've kept all my life since then. I've instilled in my three oldest girls who have each donated blood here. And at the end of her life, my mother was receiving 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 units of blood a day.
Wow.
Which sustained her life.
Wow.
And the more I think about it, the more I realize how absolutely compelling and critical it is. And anyone listening can understand that no society can exist without a modern blood donation program. And so we've been bringing thousands of Americans primarily to donate blood here in Israel, and it's very meaningful. We came up with a tagline a couple years back, said the greatest gift to bring home is the one you leave behind.
Yeah.
And it's true, because really, a gift is about giving.
Right.
And this is there is no better gift. And honestly, the security of Israel's blood supply is second only to the Israeli army itself in terms of the defense of the people. And since people can't put their name on a rocket or a bullet or a gun or a tank, we're giving people the opportunity at a very low level to be able to make a small financial impact on some saving lives. And so what ended up happening was a couple of things. We had a predominant number of churches that were coming over at one point for whom it was really, really special to be able to give blood here. And every
Absolutely.
Time, right? It is. You've done it. You've done it a number of times.
We try to do that every few months.
Right, and there's something different about donating blood in Israel because the risks are different. You know, it's not being in South Carolina where I'll be in a couple of weeks, or Tennessee, or places. And that's not to say that these places aren't important, but if there's a blood shortage in South Carolina, they can get blood from North Carolina, Tennessee, or Georgia, that are neighboring states.
Right.
We don't have that opportunity, and not only do we not have that opportunity, it's our neighboring states that are trying to use up our blood supply, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
And so we really need to push hard to make sure that Israel's blood supply is always abundant, always safe, that the army... We provide 100% of the blood for the army and 97% of blood in the country, and that's basically 100%. So all of the help, but they're limited resources. So that's why Heart to Heart came up. What I neglected to say is every time we would promote a group coming here to donate blood and give them recognition, because it's not a small thing. We're really proud to give someone recognition for doing that. I would get emails and phone calls from all over America saying, how can I donate my blood? I live in Dallas or Denver or Detroit, and I want to donate my blood and send it to Israel. And the short answer is you can't, and hopefully there'll never ever be that need.
Right.
Because if there's that need, that means something really bad is going down here. So I said, instead of donating your blood over there in some blood bank and putting it in a FedEx box and shipping it over, just go online and send $100, and $100 more or less covers the cost of our producing one unit of blood.
Right.
And so it's very realistic, very tangible. I'm very excited to go on my trip next week where I'll be speaking about Heart to Heart in North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Illinois, a little bit of New York and New Jersey. I think I'm missing one state.
You're a rock star. Oh, without the bus.
I don't know. No, with coach tickets on various airplanes, no bus. It's a lot of fun. It's a great deal of fun.
I'm sure. Jonathan, you know, I'm noticing the accent in your voice.
Yeah,
you're not born and raised here in Israel.
No, I'm not. I was born and raised in New York and raised in New Jersey, but I've always been Israeli. My father was born here, and this is another conversation for another interview, perhaps.
Yeah.
My father was born in what was then called Palestine, except when he was born in Palestine, someone called a Palestinian was a Jew, like my father.
Right.
That's how the British referred to us, and so my father was a Palestinian Jew. And from the day Israel became a state, he obviously got citizenship. And from the day I was born, I was a citizen. But it took
us... Really? No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. You get citizenship automatically if you're born to an Israeli. And same as American. And it's always been in my heart to want to live here. It just took me most of 40 years, like Moses, crossing the desert. And,
right.
It's been unbelievable. We're here almost 10 years now, and... My kid, it's a blessing. I don't even know how to say it. It's just a blessing to be here living prophecy. It's a blessing to raise my kids as proud Jews and proud Israelis who have it in their culture and in their instinct to give back to their country.
Right.
And I'm just grateful. Sorry I didn't do it earlier, but, you know, everything is at God's right time.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I have to say, you want to take your body to your sandwich?
Okay.
I have to say that... In the over year that I've been here, it has been the most remarkable, life-altering. The people here are amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. And when I hear people, you know, once in a while you get that tourist that complains. Of course, that, you know, you're in a different culture, so... You know, we're a little spoiled in the United States. And I can only look at them and smile and say, you know, for as long as I've been here, this, the people here have been such an amazing blessing in my life.
Yeah, I don't remember why I was thinking about it today, but a blog article that I was going to write a while ago, and I never did, and then it came to my mind today. Just the way that people behave as a community here.
Yeah.
Very different. There's a sense of solidarity that you don't have in at least in the places I lived in America or places I visited in the, other parts of the world. And you see solidarity happen in other places when there's a disaster, when there's a shooting in a school or
right.
an earthquake or something like that.
And then it goes away.
But here it's profound when that happens. But it's also it's every day. There's a sense of community.
Yeah.
And
it just, there is.
Just came to mind with me with something. Someone did something that was just nice and out of and unexpected, and I'm thinking, wow, that's nothing to take for granted.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. No, I mean, I've said this 1,000 times to you, I'm sure, since we've been friends, and I'm thankful for your friendship.
Back at you.
I'm very good. You've been, since I've been here, you've been one of the best friends to me.
Thank you.
And I'm grateful for that. And but it's amazing, especially when you live in a, according to the world, you live in a very controversial area in Judea.
Yeah.
And when I can see packs of children, I think this has made the most indelible impression on me, mentally and emotionally. When I see little children walking down the street with no accompaniment
of
an adult,
yes,
grade school children,
sure,
laughing,
sure,
playing, and there's, of course, you know, you always have to be mindful, but at the same time, there's not that fear. And when I see that, and there's times, I have to say that since I've been here, like anything, I go through low points. But I'm telling you, when I see things like that, I say, God, I'm thankful for the innocence.
The purity.
The purity that is here,
yes,
that exists nowhere else in the world.
That's right. That's right.
And this is why, you know, on many levels, whether it's listening to Insight to Israel or donating to it or giving chocolate bars or giving to Heart to Heart, these are the things that bring the connection between the Christians who still would look back on American history in the 20th century a lot of times when I grew up.
Right.
And we pine for those days of innocence. Pine for them.
That's right.
And yet still those principles, that mindset, the mentality,
that's right,
is still preserved here. It's truly amazing. It's amazing.
It's a blessing. It's a very special thing to be able to live here and be part of living in the society, contributing to society, and being part of writing the pages of our future, the Jewish future.
You
know, we've got thousands and thousands of years of history that are written in the Torah, in the Bible, but we can't stop there.
I don't
think the Bible's not a static thing. We're challenged to be part of living the experience and the values, and to do it here, it's a privilege. I don't even have other word.
You know, it's at the end of the day, you know, it's amazing because in America we say living the dream.
That's right.
But in Israel, it's living the vision. Living the vision.
That's right.
After 65 years, the reality, the vision, the biblical vision, the vision of what you've done in leading the way in technology, agriculture, medicine, and what very few people know, the vast amounts of humanitarian work that you do around the world, and Heart to Heart is very much a part of that.
Well, it's funny. Heart to Heart is part of it, and something we were talking about recently. Someone told me they saw a photo, and I'm looking for it. But apparently, it's not a secret anymore. People listening to this program know that Israel set up on the Golan Heights and the military field camp to take care of Syrians who have been injured in the four-year-old civil war that's going on there, brutalizing their country. And it's very sad. I mean, I have a great amount of concern for all Syrians, regardless of the fact that as a nation, they've been fighting brutal wars against us and are still considered enemies and may eventually, when they finish their war, go back to being enemies with us. But regardless of that, it's uplifting to me that Israel's doing all the things. Several hundred Assyrians have been brought over that we know of, treated in Israeli field hospitals and established hospitals. And anytime any of them need blood, it's coming from the Israel National Blood Bank. There's no other source of blood. It's not like they're bringing it along with them.
No.
It's
savagery in Lebanon.
That's right.
In Syria. And I just read an article about the children that have been saved from Syria.
Children, babies born here in Israel, which will be create big problems for those kids when they get their passports and birth certificates one day. I don't know how they're going to handle that. Men, women, children, the whole thing. And that's what Israel's about. That's what Judaism's about. We sanctify life. Saving a life is the highest value. It supersedes everything. Actually, you know what? That reminds me. We have time now. I can digress. One of the really amazing things in the blood center, I invite when any listeners are coming over to be in touch with me, and I can take people to come and see. But the normal blood, you know, blood that people transfuse, sit and stick a needle in the arm, and a pint of blood drips out, and it's given to one or two or three patients who are in critical condition. That's normal, and that's what people know about. What's less known, but becoming much more common, is the idea of saving cord blood, umbilical cord blood that's extracted after a baby's born from the umbilical cord and placenta. And and the National Blood Bank in Israel also houses Israel's national free and public national cord blood bank. And what that means is when a baby's born, the parent donates the umbilical cord blood. It goes into a couple of freezers that are in Tel Aviv, keeping the blood at 196 degrees below zero Celsius.
Wow.
And what's amazing about that is that we're taking from what would otherwise be medical waste, something you throw in the garbage.
Yeah.
The ability to save life, it's a very small, it's like two or three ounces of liquid. But in that liquid, you have stem cells. And the stem cells, people know about the controversy of stem cells because typically the norm today still is to extract stem cells by aborting a fetus.
Yeah.
And there's huge problems with that. I don't need to say that. But here we have something that you have a live birth, and the product of that that you would otherwise throw in the garbage
Amazing.
Has the ability to save other lives.
Amazing.
And it doesn't have to kill a baby growing inside its mother's belly.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Amazing. You know, that's one thing, as I've traveled all over this country, the Israeli Jews are known for not wasting.
That's true. That's a good point.
They're known for not wasting. And, you know, this is just recycling. I look at what you're doing, but the road between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem.
Yeah.
You're using everything. Everything. Even, you know, old scrap metal. And I know these are commonly used things, but it's amazing what the Israelis are doing. And I'm adding to that with even the most minute things that we do throw away.
Correct.
And you're adding that to the livelihood of the Jewish state.
But in our case, overlaying that with the sanctity and saving of life.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't get any more significant than that.
No. Wow, wow. And you know, let's as well as helping your neighbors who are in the throngs of war
Correct.
And bloodshed, Correct. That also, you give free medical care a lot of times to Palestinians. If I can, let me clarify, because I want to use global terms instead of
yes,
cultural terms.
Yes.
There are Muslims that do not like this country that are citizens.
Correct.
And many live. There are many that live in Judea and Samaria, even folks in the Gaza.
That's correct.
That find themselves in a place where they need emergency help. And who's there? I'll let you say who's there. Who's there?
Who's there is us. Is the Israel National Blood Services providing blood in the hospitals and the ambulances under the auspices of Magen David Adom, which does the ambulance and the blood service in the state of Israel. And that's all provided. And there's no discrimination. There's no... You don't even think about it. It's not like, people say, well, why do you give... why do you help them? They're not even citizens, and much less they're at war with you. And it's just not even thought of.
And their own people don't even help them.
Not only do their own people not even help them, I've been to the main crossing point between Israel and the Gaza Strip, where you can see across into Gaza the checkpoints that Hamas decides who gets into Israel and who doesn't. And if they don't want somebody coming into Israel, even to get medical care, they just say, no, go home.
Wow.
We open the doors. That terminal at the border there is built for 40,000 people to come across a day.
I've been to that terminal.
Right?
Yeah.
It's very impressive. It's very, again, it goes all back to sanctifying life. But here we are in a situation where we're doing it. Recently, I didn't used to be able to talk about this because it was kind of secret. There was a concern that the more public it got, the more Hamas would have a reason to shut it down because Israel might, God forbid, get some good PR out of this saving lives.
Yeah.
But the granddaughter and on two separate occasions, the granddaughter most recently and the brother-in-law of the Hamas leader in Gaza were treated in Israel.
And I heard about that.
In hospitals. Now, unfortunately, the granddaughter was in too critical a condition, and they couldn't do anything for her. And she went back a little girl and died, and that's very sad. But here we are treating the granddaughter of the guy who's leading one of the major terrorist organizations in the region, if not in the world,
wow,
who's shooting rockets at us on a daily basis. And they actually put her on an Israeli ambulance and brought her to a hospital. And I don't know if she needed blood or not, but whatever she needed, she got.
Right, right. Wow. Wow.
And that happens several times a day, every single day of the year.
Wow. And the same folks, unfortunately, I read about stabbings daily here in Jerusalem.
Well, there's a funny thing, and it comes back to the blood service. It's not funny, but ironic. There was once a terrorist who was caught in a gunfire with soldiers, and because he didn't die, he was brought to an Israeli hospital. Because we're fighting the terrorists, we injure the terrorists, and then he gets hurt, and we treat the terrorists. It's a funny irony in all of this, but even making it more...
I'm going to tell you what, Jonathan. Brother, I'm just not like... I'd have let him die.
Okay, fine. But
I'm not Jewish, and I know. I don't want to be misunderstood.
You're a little less diplomatic than some people.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But in any event, not only did he not die, he was brought to the hospital, and they were having trouble with his blood because they couldn't stop the bleeding and realized he had a very rare blood type. Typically,
wow,
many people like myself and you and others know about A, B, O, and AB is the main blood type. So there are many very, very rare subtypes. So it was discovered that he had one of these very rare types. They went to his family in a Samaritan village, an Arab village. The family was brought to a checkpoint where the blood services in Israel brought a Arabic-speaking staff and blood mobile to collect blood from his family members whose blood worked to save his life. And lo and behold, after all of this happened, there was a realization that this particular blood type or mutation or whatever it was has a propensity for women to prevent women from carrying a pregnancy full term.
Wow.
Spontaneous abortions and things of that nature.
Wow.
So just in passing, the conversation came up. Are the women in your family having trouble having babies? And they were. So through treatment in Israel...
Wow.
The family of the terrorist who was trying to kill Israelis and then get injured in the gunfight and life was saved. It sounds like a country song should be.
Yeah.
Right? Or some kind of song. And the women were treated and they were able to carry baby pregnancies to full term.
Wow. I don't want to be misunderstood.
I know what you're going to say.
I love people, and I care about people's lives. It's tough when I see what goes on, how these soldiers are treated, and I work so close with them. So, but thank God. Thank God that who knows what that man's life is like now. He should be in a jail, and I'm sure that he is. But how his family's life was changed through the Jewish people.
That's correct.
That's amazing.
That's correct. That's and whether they realize it or not, or appreciate it or not, or change their views, or don't support terrorism, or don't participate in terrorism, or don't go to the big Hamas rallies when Hamas holds guns to their heads saying, come out. I don't know if any of that's changed. Maybe not. But we still do the right thing.
Right. We'll be back. with Jonathan Feldstein. This is Insight to Israel. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gano. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. We're back. We're back for another exciting adventure with Jonathan Feldstein. Jonathan, great lunch. I still it's so good that I don't want to just savor it on my tongue. Maybe I'm being a little too plain. I don't even want to pick it out of my teeth.
There you go.
How good it is, you know. But, wow, great calzone. What did you have?
The tuna pastrami sandwich.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah, very interesting.
Cafe Forte.
That's it.
In Jerusalem. Wow, near the Shuk. And what's the name of this building?
The Klal Building.
Klal Building. Sir, you have 1 second?
Maybe we're calling over Stanley.
Yeah.
Stan, you're quasi-live on the radio.
Stanley, you're president, CEO of Cafe Forte.
I am the manager.
You're the manager. You're the manager. Now, I hear that accent, and that's, you're from where?
South Africa.
South Africa. Now, how long have you been in the Jewish state?
30 years.
30 years. Welcome home, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. So, how long has Cafe Forte been?
I have been the manager here for 4 months.
Nice.
We took it over from the previous manager.
You take on that position of leadership very naturally. I thought you were the owner.
Oh, thank you.
Because of your fine customer service.
Or maybe I'm just bossy.
So you've been here 4 months.
We've been here 4 months. We took it over and changed the whole concept and so on. I adapted it more to the building. And we changed the menu. I brought in a new chef whose name is Dikla.
Nice. Nice.
Dikla, come and say hello to us.
I'm going to say hello to the chef. We don't do this often.
You don't say hello to the chef?
No, not always. Dikla, Michael, Gano, it's nice to meet you. You're going to be on radio. We're going to give you a business card and let you hear yourself. This is Insight to Israel. And it tells the truth about the Jewish state that the leftist media in Islam doesn't tell. And this is an amazing country. Israel is amazing, and it's amazing. You did. That food was great. That
calzone.
Calzone.
You had calzone.
Can. So anyway, I just want to acknowledge the manager and the chef at Cafe Forte, and say thank you for myself and my friend Jonathan Feldstein.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Keep up the good work.
Ta-da. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We appreciate your efforts
to
us and the Jewish state.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure, man. It's a pleasure. Great job.
Thank you.
All right. Back to business. Wow. There's nothing like lunch. You'll never know who you meet.
There you go.
Jonathan, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
I want to do something real quick. Again, I like to switch it up a little bit. I want to do a quick recap of the week for Insight to Israel. Actually, on Monday, I went with expert security and Roy Peled, who's the president. Roy was in a special group called Duv Devan. And if you're listening to the radio show, do some research. Go and look some of this stuff up for yourself. Educate yourself about the Jewish state. And they train 15 to 18-year-old boys for the military. Now, they train these boys because these boys want to be trained for the best positions in the military. And the parents pay for a year to 2 years, sometimes 3 years, to get them physically and mentally in the position so that they can achieve their goal of being in these special forces units. Now, there are, you've experienced this firsthand with your children. You can either, it's mandatory to go in the Army, the young men serving 3 and the young ladies serving 2, and then if they extend their service by going into a group like Duke Devon, it takes 5 years.
Right.
And then they have what they call national service. And, you know, we're not going to veer off, but I want to talk to us about national service. Your daughter actually did it in Australia, didn't she?
So I have 2 daughters who have done national service. It's, I think, best described like as a domestic Peace Corps, where typically Orthodox girls are exempt from the Army, and there's a process through which they go to declare that, make it official. But at least where we live, and among my daughters and their friends, there's a... standard that they're going to still serve their country, just not in the military. So they work in various social capacities. So my oldest daughter, who did her first year here working in a youth village for kids, living in on site with kids who came from backgrounds that were problematic and homes that were not safe. They were, if I remember correctly, 15 girls in an apartment ranging from age 5 to 15, and she was one of 3 counselors working with them and a couple. Then the second year she went overseas to work in Australia in the Jewish community in Melbourne.
Wow.
She came back, and my second daughter went off to do her national service working in a special ed kindergarten and is figuring out what she wants to do, but she's looking at working with disabled people here in Jerusalem next year as a second year. And what's minimum is when you do national service, you do 1 year. But again, the standard is, at least in our community, 1 year is the minimum. No one does the minimum. You do more. You do 2 years. And my third daughter already, she's 17, so she's only a junior in high school. So in a year and a half or so from now, she'll go ahead and do her national service somewhere else. All the girls considered doing the Army, and some of them were being recruited to some very interesting military positions.
Right.
But in the end, they decided for a whole variety of reasons that it would be better to go and do what they wanted to do, the kinds of things that they wanted to do. So I'm proud of them, and I'm proud that we raised them that way, and I'm proud that it's the culture
right. To
give back.
Absolutely. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing that every... And that's why Israel leads the way in these areas that I always talk about, technology, agriculture, medicine, because your children, thank God, are not going to, and I'm going to say it, are not going to some godless college or university where they're teaching, where the kids are partying, doing drugs, having... We don't want to go into all the details. It's very sad for the U.S. since we're both originally from there. But thank God that those children can be put in an environment nothing's perfect, of course.
Right.
But where they can have very positive influences.
Well, there's 2 things. First of all, I just want to comment that you just said we're both originally from there. And that marks, I don't know at what point, but it's very clear that you have your feet firmly planted here. And originally from there is very much in your past. So congratulations on that psychological awareness. And second, as far yes, you're right. The environment in many American colleges is not one that you would really be happy for your 18, 19-year-old kids to go off to. But more than that, you see, I find that even if the environment were pure,
right,
people are thinking at 18, 19 years old, what are they going to be doing for their career? What are they doing to get themselves ahead?
Right.
And in my kids' case, and their friends, they're not worrying about how they're getting ahead, they're worrying about what they can do for their country.
Right.
And they put that on hold, and they don't start university. My oldest daughter's turning 21. She won't start university until next fall, which means she'll be almost 22 by the time she starts, at an age when kids in America are already graduating,
yep,
getting work if they can find it.
Right.
Or going on to kicking the can down the road and going for some kind of graduate degree, hoping that they might find some work after that. And my kids are all focused on right now in their life,
beautiful,
what can they do for Israel? What can they do for them?
Another, Jonathan, another reason why I live, love, and back the Jewish state. It's fascinating to me. Now, when we look at what your daughters have done, when we look at these young men training for the military, it's truly fascinating. So if you go to my Facebook page, and I'm going to put it out in an email at mgano@insighttoisrael.com, M-G-A-N-O-E at insighttoisrael.com, you can request that information and see those pictures in that write-up I'm going to do. Along with that, I actually was invited by a colonel in the Army, the Israeli Defense Force, to come to a lecture at Masada about the humanitarian side, coming back to this again, fighting but yet loving life and saving life, the humanitarian side of the IDF. And this gentleman travels all over the United States and speaks at universities, Harvard, Yale, Georgetown, Columbia, and talks about what the side of the IDF, where they strive to make great lengths to preserve human life through so that there are no civilian casualties when taking out Muslim terrorists. And it is fascinating. And he also speaks to the soldiers along these lines. Along with that, he has a program where he brings soldiers and handicapped children together. And it's truly amazing. And then the children and also the soldiers, he's a pilot, and he has an airplane down on an airstrip in Masada and took me for a ride. And
it's amazing. Your God has given you some unbelievable blessings.
It was amazing to fly over Masada.
Wow.
And I'm thankful to God for that. Now, Insight to Israel is growing, and the name is getting out there. We're heard in Europe. We're heard in the United States, here in Israel. And Hershey's for Heroes is growing. I have soldiers that stop me. Hey, I recognize you. Hey, I've heard about Hershey's for Heroes. You're the guy that hands out the chocolate bars.
Right.
And then they see the notes and they're like, wow, this is amazing that Americans love us this much.
Yep.
So I wanted to take a few minutes just to do a recap of this past week. And now, with that being said, you've got a trip coming up to the States.
Trip coming up. Is anyone listening who's from Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Illinois, New York, or New Jersey, you can email me at firstpersonisrael@gmail.com.
And we'll put your information out on the Facebook page when we do the...
Great. firstpersonisrael@gmail. And I have an American phone number that follows me everywhere.
Please.
201-203-0983.
Say it again.
201-203-0983. Anyone listening who wants to connect and is one of those places where I'll be or wants me to show up someplace where they are that I'm not planning to be next trip, love it. We haven't talked about it now, but you know this. I have this really great privilege of writing a blog for Charisma Magazine.
Yes, you've sent me your stuff, and I've posted it.
It's an honor. I mean, I think how God has blessed me to give me this opportunity to be part of building bridges between Jews and Christians. So me as an Orthodox Israeli Jew writing a blog for one of the most predominant, preeminent evangelical websites in the U.S., if not the world. And it's just been a tremendous blessing, and I get great feedback. I love the ability just to share little snippets of life that go on here that people wouldn't in America. They get it from you, Michael, but typically they're not getting it in the U.S. media.
Nah.
And just to share with a little 800,000-900,000 word article about something that they may not have thought about that makes Israel that much more real.
Right, right. Look, Jonathan, it's imperative as we see that the United States going through a lot of turmoil, we are experiencing a little taste of what Israel has been through since 1948 and before.
That's correct.
So, you know, I think that it's important for both sides to have that clear understanding, not just on a principled level, but on a spiritual level, on a doctrinal level, on a theological level, of why we have this bond, this eternal bond between Christians and Jews.
Correct.
It's very, very imperative, especially in this day and age, and it's extremely important.
It's imperative, it's important, and it's imperative upon each of us to share that and help other people who aren't in that yet realize why it's true and what's missing, which is why I'm thrilled on the 27th to be speaking in Charleston at an event at the Jewish Community Center, sponsored by the Jewish community and a ministry called the GLOW International. Right?
GLOW. It's a women's group.
Big women's group, and it's a humbling privilege for me to be there as the guest, and something else, I don't even remember what it was. Someone else invited me to do something. We're doing some exciting things in Memphis and Nashville.
Wow.
So, people listening now, you said before, learn, know what's going on.
Educate yourself.
Educate yourself. Listen to this program. You're welcome to subscribe to my blogs and know what's going on so you can be a messenger as well.
Right. Absolutely. Because knowledge is power.
That's right.
And, it's amazing what people can learn, not just about the Jewish state, but when you take the Old Testament. And because that's, look, for the Christians, that's the basis of the New Testament.
I was going to say, you can't have the old without the new, the new without the old. It's like building a house without a foundation.
Right, absolutely. And, let me ask you, how many times a year do you travel to the States? Because since I've known you, I'm sure your wife misses you a lot.
Someone in California asked me that question recently, and I said, I travel 4 or 5 times a year. It's too much because I really don't like being out of Israel or away from my home.
Oh, I don't blame you.
And I don't particularly love the travel, but I do love the fellowship and the work.
Yeah. It's got to be amazing to be able to meet those people.
Yeah.
What's your response typically? Because, my experience, one time, like my mother's church in West Virginia, fantastic women there, they come together every Tuesday and pray for Mother Gano and pray for Israel.
Yeah.
And I brought a Jewish friend from Washington, D.C. He and a bunch of guys came to West Virginia. My family treated us like gold.
Yeah, yeah.
Shot some guns out on the family farm and ate a lot. When he went to church at my mother's church, we all went with her.
Right.
When those ladies found out he was Jewish, they just loved all over him. We love Israel. What can we do? Well, have you got any? Can you help us out? Get us some contacts in Israel. And he went to yeshiva school here.
Yeah.
So what's your response?
Typically, like what you're saying, there's warmth, there's unconditional love, there's great interest. I was also privileged to be at Billy Graham's 95th birthday party this past November, and to be probably the only Orthodox Jew in the room was unbelievable, and people. Curious. Why is the guy walking around that thing on his head? Who is he? What is this about? And then when they hear what's going on and what I'm doing and between my blogging and hosting Christian groups here in Israel and bringing people to donate blood and heart to heart, so there's just an outpouring of love and interest and support that's, for me, it's gratifying, and I wish I had a platform to tell all Israelis how wonderful it is. But I also just look at it as a privilege that for me that I'm thrilled about. What can I say?
Yeah, wow, that's amazing. You know, that bids well for, again, at the grassroots level. That's Politics 101, reaching out to people in general. Because right now we don't have a government or an administration that favors this country. And it is so important for Americans. This is why you need to give to heart to heart, because the message you send to the Jewish people has a huge, huge impact. You will never know, but Jonathan will take the time to show you firsthand the lives that you are touching simply by being a part of this program, because, again, It's that public relations.
Well, public relations is very professional.
Right.
If people want to email me, I can. The website's kind of confused, and we're going to work on that. But people can email me, and I can get them the link to the website. But we've got some beautiful testimony on the website in video and in writing, telling some of the stories of just a few people whose lives have been saved. One woman who was run over by a car who needed 3 units of blood. A good friend whose mother is in stage 4 cancer. And barring a miracle, she knows what the end of stage 4 cancer is, but when she gets a blood transfusion, it gives her life.
Right.
And it allowed me to think of the whole idea of saving lives and giving life in a very different way, because the blood that she receives isn't going to necessarily elongate her life. cancer's taking its toll, but when she, as long as she's alive, it's giving her energy, it's giving will to live, it's giving her quality of life, and that's just as important.
Absolutely, absolutely, because too many times we mark those folks off.
Yeah.
We have a mindset and a spirit that's wicked that says, well, you know, that could be used for someone else.
Right. Actually, last time I was sitting here in this cafe, I heard a story of a woman, it was about a week, 10 days ago, a woman who just recently delivered twins and required blood afterwards. She was bleeding, and that happens sometimes. So not only were the babies born healthy, but we were able to save the mother's life, too, by giving her blood. And what I always tell people, I was with a pastor from Chicago recently, took him to visit the blood center. And he had a trauma in December and was in the hospital and needed 12 units of blood, and that's actually quite a bit. And when he got it. He understood.
Right.
And when people hear this, they will understand, but we don't think about it. If someone needs one unit or 3 units or 12 units, and you are in a society somehow where there's a shortage, and you only have 80% of the blood needed to be able on hand to be able to treat the patient, well, that patient's not going to live.
Yeah.
If my friend Pastor Jerry needed 12 units of blood and there was only 10 available of his blood type, then the first 10 would have been wasted.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have mattered because he wouldn't have been alive.
Right.
So
wow.
Every single unit makes a difference. There's a story on our website I can share with people about a boy who was blown up here in a terror attack 2006. It's actually the day I organized my first blood drive for Americans here in Jerusalem. That same day there was a terror attack. He required 80 units of blood in order to stay alive. And it was actually what I had heard, and now I've heard a couple of times, the doctors were squeezing the blood into his body in order to keep him alive while they fixed what was devastated from the terror attack. And despite all that work, what if there had only been 70 units?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the greatest gift, and in Judaism we have a concept which is usually focused on life, on death. It's called Chesed Shel Emet, an act of righteousness that's true, that's pure, meaning that one doesn't get anything in return. And when and the best example of that is when someone's dead.
Yeah.
Right? You can't do anything for them, but you treat their remains and their memory with all of the respect as if they were still alive. Well, I will contend that donating blood is exactly the same thing. We don't know who's going to get it. When you and I go together to get a needle stuck in our arm, we don't know who's going to get it, but we know that person's going to be needy.
Yeah.
And that person won't know who gives it, but it doesn't matter. It could be a Jew, it could be a Muslim, it could be a Christian, it could be
an Indian, a visitor, a tourist.
It could be a tourist, and the person who receives it could be an African refugee or migrant worker or a Syrian kid who was hurt in their civil war, a Palestinian in a Palestinian Arab in a car accident, or any of the 8 million Israeli Jews.
Yeah. Wow. You know, let me ask you, along with that, I don't know if you want to talk about this or not, and you can tell me. I don't edit anything. I like keep it pure.
All right.
You had talked to me some time ago about partnering, not just an instant donation or a consistent donation, but do you want to talk about?
Sure. So we have what we do is Heart to Heart is built as a grassroots program to enable anyone at any financial level to come in and support a unit of blood or the component of a unit of blood, and that's fantastic.
And let me say this: I want to paint a picture for a listener because
Please.
We've been talking about units of blood. A unit would be
a pint
of blood. That's usually what they take out
Correct.
Of your arm.
Correct. In one setting,
and then you can't give for another 3 months.
That's right.
So I just wanted to clarify that so the listeners, if you've given blood, they know.
And by the way, that blood that they take out, is one pint of blood, can only be stored for 35 days.
Wow.
Which is why we always have to have, if you'll forgive the pun, a constant flow. well, we do. It's critical.
Yeah.
But what we're doing as far as partnering is that we've got a lot of ministries. We built this heart-to-heart program not to brand or promote Heart to Heart as an organization, but an idea. The idea is to bless Israel and save lives in Israel. And it's really very simple and couldn't be more pure than that. And so there are organizations and ministries that want to join us and essentially take on Heart to Heart as their program to bless Israel. Maybe it's the exclusive one. Some of the times you asked about how I'm received in America, sometimes people have been itching, wait, it's like they've been waiting on the front porch of their house for someone like me to show up because
right.
I give them voice to express their love for Israel, and they haven't had that ability yet.
Wow, that's amazing.
But there are many people who have that ability and just hear about this and say, I'm adding that to what I'm already doing. So churches and ministries that want to join, we say, great, here's our materials. We set up a website for them. They get their own separate landing page. We give them all of the content. And whether it's pushing an email once in a while, sometimes pastors might record a voice message that goes out in a phone tree. Sometimes they'll take an offering. Sometimes they just have me come and speak and present a check. Several hundred dollars to a few thousand dollars. And all of it makes a difference. Right now I'm trying to get, based on the days of creation, I'm trying to get 700 churches to commit to donate $700 once a year.
Seven.
Exactly. It's the days of creation. Now those $700 will support 7 units of blood, which can save 21 different people.
Wow.
And if you boil that down, we're not even talking about an individual. We're talking about a church,
right.
An organization where, if you'll forgive the business term, there's cash flow.
Right.
And even the smallest churches that I've been in and spoken to, $700 is not a difficult amount of money to be talking about.
Right.
So $700 comes out to less than $2 a day.
Yeah.
For a whole organization and ministry. And we're not looking for credit. We're looking to make sure that there's never a blood shortage here. There are many threats that we face. Some of them are acts of God.
Right.
Some of them are acts of godless people.
You're on an earthquake fault.
We are on an earthquake fault that people can follow this trajectory. Every 90 to 100 years, there's a major one here. There was one in 1837, 1927, and we're currently in the year 2014.
With the chances of that happening again.
It's almost a mathematical certainty that it will happen. The problem is we don't know when. And we
right.
don't know when it happens, what roads will be, how many people will be injured, what hospitals might be damaged, what routes of supplying, collecting the blood, and supplying the blood to the most devastated areas. So we always have to be prepared. Remember the snow that we had here
Absolutely.
A couple of months ago? So the blood services did something brilliant. They went out on double time collecting blood, because typically blood isn't collected on the weekends here. Friday is a half day. Saturday being Shabbat is not a day that we collect blood. So that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday preceding the snow, they were out there collecting double the amount of blood, knowing that the need was going to be the same, maybe even greater, but we weren't going to have the ability for about 2 million of the citizens to send blood crews to collect the blood supply.
Wow.
We have to be prepared for the things that we can think about.
Right.
And mindful of the things that we know are risks, but we can't prepare for.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So, look, we have 2 minutes left. And what do you have to say in these next 2 minutes?
Well, we're kind of wrapping this up. For me, as much as it's my job and I love doing this, and Heart to Heart is probably the most important thing that I've ever done on behalf of Israel because of what it's doing and the potential to make sure. We have a lot of needs, and it's not worth going into it now.
Right.
But the needs are vast. But for me, going back to the late 1980s, it's been my calling. I used to go around the Southeast speaking in churches and other Christian groups on behalf of the Israeli consulate where I was working then, and fellowshipping with Christians who love Israel. And for me, I was young. I was in my 20s, and I didn't really understand the whole reason or rationale or reality of Christians loving Israel. So for me, I love the opportunity, and the opportunity you're giving me here to share on the radio, but also the opportunity to connect with people by email, in person, and listen, keep listening to Michael's program, because he's great, and he's got a view that is unique and very important to hear. And he's got great guests, myself included.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved having you on. It's been fantastic.
I'm just saying that tongue in cheek. But he's got great guests to connect with, and on me on a personal basis, because I was blessed to be born in America. I speak a good English. I love the opportunity to connect with people and just share a little snippets of my life, and in any way we can to build a fellowship to exalt that which was broken for most of 2,000 years.
Right.
And to fix that and do our part to make sure that we're all from our own respective traditions doing what God wants from us.
Absolutely. Jonathan, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, my friend.
Yes. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. We're going to put Jonathan's information with the promotional for the radio show. Jonathan, thank you. Thank you to Americans who stand, the Patriot Conservatives, the Christians that stand with the Jewish state. And thank you, and we pray, thank God for Israel as you fight for your sovereignty and security.